welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA. Got some Texas boys on this week. Joining us from San Antonio, Master Barbecue Man. Is that insulting to say Barbecue Man? Should I say something more kind, connoisseur? Michael Corleone Wright. Michael, what do you prefer to be known as when you're out working the grill?
Barbecue is fine. Barbecue takes a little more skill than grilling does. So, yeah, you can give me the barbecue props.
All right. And the man with Texas blood thicker than mud.
A pit master.
He's in Dallas, but, you know, McMahon's either in Dallas going to Houston or in Houston going to Dallas. He's going to Houston today because the Rockets are a play in the 76ers tonight. No Joel Embiid, I don't think, for that game. It's questionable, nope. But I don't think he's playing.
No, he's out.
Guys, it's a playoff start a month from this weekend, believe it or not. And I'm looking at the standings here, and we got some fascinating stuff going to be happening over this last month. There's been so much focus put on the 8th seed, and thanks to the Kings and Lakers going right into the toilet, there's no longer, and really the Timberwolves too, quite frankly, there's no longer really any drama there. There's a four-game spread between the Clippers and Spurs and the Kings at 8-9. I mean, I don't want to rule the Kings out, but it doesn't look good because the Spurs and Clippers have favorable schedules. I mean, Michael, you think the Spurs are getting in, don't you think? You don't see a collapse.
I think they're in, man. They've won four in a row. They're on a roll right now, playing good defense these days.
Go out on a limb and say the Spurs will make the playoffs. That's rare.
Right. But the interesting thing to me is the races for the seeds. And the seeds to me in this year's playoffs, both East and West, but particularly West, are going to be pretty damn important. Now, last year we saw this kind of grouping as well, but you could argue that there wasn't that much difference between finishing third and finishing sixth, and the Pelicans proved that when they swept the Blazers at the six, when they were 6-3. But this year, I just think there's a huge, humongous difference between playing the Warriors and playing the Nuggets. And no offense to the Nuggets, I was just with them in LA a couple days ago. I don't think that they're going to strike fear into opponents' hearts. They're second youngest team in the league. They don't defend very well when they are on as a group. And Jokic is doing his thing. They are an offensive terror, and they can play good defense, although it doesn't happen every night. But if you are on their side of the bracket, I think that anybody on their side of the bracket will feel like they've got a shot, even if you're way back there, it's 7 or 8. And if you're on the Warriors side of the bracket, even though the Warriors are struggling a little bit, I think it looks a lot different. So these standings as of this morning, the Nuggets and the Warriors are kind of neck and neck. The Nuggets are a game back, and they're playing each other tonight in Golden State. And I think Klay is coming back for that one, and the Warriors coming off the worst home loss in the Steve Kerr era. We'll see how they react for that. But, by tomorrow, they could be tied. But then here's where things get real interesting. The Thunder, who had a huge overtime win last night in Portland. And by the way, McMahon, did you see what happened in that game?
Yes, sir. They showed it on TV.
Where did you come down on the whole thing? You know, Yusef Nurkic got ejected. Where'd you come down on the way the whole thing?
They had to eject him with the headbutt. But, man, there's got to be a way to, when a guy gets straight up clocked in the jaw with a vicious elbow, but just because you missed it the first time, there's got to be a way to review that. I mean, and so it was a dumb play by Nurkic, but I understand why he did it. Like, he just got rocked in the jaw. And then, you know, Paul George is going to come barking back at him the next trip down the floor. You know, but he put himself in that position with his, and he, I thought he was going to get away with it. He thought he was going to get away with it with his little slick sidestep to trip Russ earlier on. But like I said, there's, to me though, there has to be a way to review when a guy gets a vicious elbow to the grill if you miss it the first time.
Well, here's a tip for all you young basketball players out there. If you're going to low-key trip somebody, don't wear neon yellow shoes. Hurts your cause.
You didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah, that's right. But the weird thing about it was, so what happened was, him and Russ, who hate each other, were getting into it. Nurkic low-key trips Russ after a basket. Russ gets upset, and I respect Russ on this. He goes and knocks Nurkic off his feet. Now, I think Nurk flopped. But what happens is they review the play, and when they review the play, they go backwards and find the Nurkic trip and give him a technical foul on the review. Then later on, when Paul George got away with hitting Nurkic in the face, they didn't review it, even though they reviewed other plays after that later. They couldn't go back then. And it's just the review system is just, I honestly try to follow it. It's all over the place. I still don't know what's triggerable and what's not. And they were reviewing everything last night, but the one of the most important plays that would have affected the outcome of the game, if George gets called for a flagrant there, they don't review. It's just, it was frustrating. But at the end of the day, the Thunder won in Portland. It was a big win for them. And so this is where things get interesting. So the Thunder are in third, okay? A half game back of them are the Rockets.
And the red-hot Houston Rockets.
Red-hot Houston Rockets won six in a row. And this is where it gets interesting. So if you're the Rockets, and by the way, half game back of them are the Blazers in five, all right? So one game separates 3, 4, 5. Now, to me, what a difference between 3 and 4 potentially here, guys. Because if you're 3 and the Nuggets are 2, you potentially avoid the Warriors till the conference finals. If you're 4, not only do you potentially have a rough first round series, but then
hold on though. Can we see Warriors Nuggets before? I mean, you think that?
Well, and then. Here's the
but
other
if the
factor
Warriors
there.
Sleepwalk down the stretch, that's not true.
Here's the other factor there. Other factor there is that the Warriors may rest guys down the stretch. They don't care about their seed.
Right.
So they may take some losses down the stretch because they may just shut some guys down.
Well, they're not. They wouldn't be scared to go into Denver for the West Finals. You know, I doubt they think he'd go to a Game 7, so they wouldn't be worried about Game 7 a Mile High. And quite frankly, with all due respect to the Nuggets, I wouldn't bet on them making the West Finals, even if they're the one seed. You know, would you bet on the Nuggets over OKC or Houston in the playoff series?
I would not. They are ripe. To me, that's the team in the West that's the high seed that's ripe for a first-round upset, to be honest. And, again, no disrespect to the Nuggets, but that's what I see. I just haven't watched the Nuggets the few games I have. I just don't – like you said, when they don't defend, Brian, they're a mess when they don't defend. And there's just been too many instances of them being inconsistent on the defensive end. For me.
Michael, how have the Spurs done against the Nuggets this year?
They've beat them twice. They played three times, and the Spurs have won two of them. And, you know, and I think one of the wins came at a time where the Spurs were playing terrible defensively. And, you know, and just having watched those games, that just sort of leads me to believe that, you know, one of these other teams could upset them in that first round. I'm with Tim. I wouldn't bet on them going to the finals.
The thing about the Spurs that is just stunning to me, and I realize that this is a little bit weighted down by the rodeo trip that they just got crushed on. They're so bad on the road.
12 and
22. 12 and 12-22 on the road. 10 games under. I mean, what that means is they're awesome at home, 25-7. 12-22 on the road. You have an explanation for that? I mean, their defense isn't traveling?
I would like one. As a matter of fact, maybe we can explore it here. I don't understand how you can play so well defensively at home and then it'd be so different on the road because, you know, I get it, crowd noise, and I get it that you're out of your routine. I get all that, but it's still a basketball court. Like, what changes? Like, I just don't understand
why they've been so bad. Well, with the snakes and the bats and the air conditioning, they have a home court advantage for sure.
This is true.
So I'm not surprised. Doesn't explain that they're bad on the road. So
I was there that night. That was a little snake.
Tell me it's a little snake when it's crawling across your feet. I'm not a Texas boy like you guys. A snake would have unnerved me. But
Mike would
I'm not even
it.
Done. You're right. He probably has a recipe. Probably pulls him right out of the. So all right. So okay. But we're not even done here. All right. So the Blazers. Rockets and Thunder are real close. By the way, the Blazers are also under 500 on the road.
And the Jazz are lurking. That blown loss to the Pelicans at home was a killer, but they're lurking. They're 2.5 back of the Thunder, 2 back of the Rockets, only 1.5 back of the Blazers.
Right. Now, here's where the Jazz get interesting. Has anybody looked at the Jazz's schedule coming home? Because you're not going to believe it.
Softer than a baby's butt.
And then, by the way, one game back of the Jazz at 6 are the Spurs and Clippers. They're tied for the 7 seed right now. One game back of the Jazz, 2.5 back of the Blazers, just 3.5 back of the Thunder. So the difference between 3 and 8 right now is 3.5 games. That is a lot of games. I'm not saying one of those teams, but that's just how tight it is. But let's talk about the Jazz's schedule coming down the stretch. Tonight they play the Grizzlies. That's on the road. Play the Thunder on Monday at home. Then here's the rest. Ready? Phoenix, Minnesota, and that's at home. And Minnesota's one of the worst road teams in the league. They're 9-25. Nets at home. That's a tough game, but it's at home. Wizards, Knicks, Hawks, Bulls, and by the way, even though the Bulls are winning lately, they are 4-30 against teams over 500. Actually, 5-30 because they just won. 5-30. Suns again. The tanking Lakers, who announced yesterday that they're only going to play LeBron 30 minutes a game. They're in full tank mode. The Wizards again. The Suns again. The Lakers again, the Kings, and then they finish up with the Nuggets and Clippers. Now, I don't know what's going to go on in those games, if guys are going to be resting or whatever. They are favored in like almost every game the rest of the way. So you got to figure the Jazz are going to finish strong. And by the way, they've won 7 of their last 10 anyway.
And they are a team that tends to finish strong, or at least certainly did last year when they, 29-6 down the stretch. They've been rolling for a little while now. But, yeah, they have statistically the easiest schedule in the league down the stretch.
And the Spurs are right behind them. Neither the Spurs or the Clippers have played the Cavs yet at all. That means 2 games for the Spurs with the Cavs, 2 games for the Clippers with the Cavs. Who actually been winning a little bit recently because Love came back, but so what I'm saying is Jazz, Spurs, and Clippers are going to be winning some games. Meanwhile, the Rockets have a relatively hard schedule down the stretch. And the Thunder, I think, have the second or third hardest schedule the rest of the way.
Yeah, the Thunder have the second hardest. The Rockets is bottom third, though. The Rockets in two tough.
Maybe I got that wrong. Okay. So I agree. We may not see that much of a difference. The difference between being 4, 5, 6, you may not be seeing bloodbaths for those, but figuring out which side of the bracket Denver is on, it's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. And also, if the Thunder keep struggling, have a losing streak, they could find themselves backsliding all the way. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. They could find themselves backsliding from 3 to 6 or even 3-7, to be honest with you. And they're a team that's also struggled on the road. They're 18-16 on the road, which is, you know, good but not good.
Yeah, although, boy, that last night, though, that win was absolutely huge because, obviously, it's head-to-head against the Blazers. It stopped the bleeding. You know, and like you said, it's on the road. I tell you what, man, the Thunder, they play some crazy fun games. I'm going to see the Jazzy's Thunder next week.
In Utah, right? Because
yeah, it's been all the Jazz's
tough games are at home.
Hello, no one is available to take your call.
Andrew, what's one of the most depressing times of the month for you?
Let's see here. It is Hoop Collective recording today, so it'd be today.
It's true. Laundry day?
Oh, that's another day, sure.
Yeah, you typically only do laundry once a month, so I know it's a depressing day for you. You know what one of the most depressing days for me is when I have to buy razors. Go into the grocery store or the drugstore, and first off, they're obscenely priced. And they're so obscenely priced that people apparently try to steal them. So they put them in this big, giant box that's locked, and sometimes it's in another locked box. And you got to call somebody over, and for the right to pay like $5 or $6 each for a razor, sometimes more, you have to bother some pimply faced kid, and then you got to take it up and, you know, feel ashamed that you're paying like $40 or whatever. And that is why Dollar Shave Club has exploded onto the scene. Because not only do you pay way less for razors and all bathroom male products, but you don't even have to go to the drugstore to get it. They will send it right to your house. Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to look, feel, and smell the best. And it delivers everything right to my front door. They keep me fully stocked on what I use so I don't run out. They have this new program where they automatically keep you stocked up on the products you love. You determine what you want when you want it. Shows up right at your door from once a month to once every 6 months. Then, by the way, Andrew, they now make toothpaste. You should try that because it is an awesome product. And, Andrew, this does not apply to me, but it does apply to you. They have a handsome discount.
Thank you.
And that means that the more you buy, the more you save. But also means you're a very good-looking man. Right now, they've got a bunch of starter sets you can buy for just $5, like their oral care kit. After that, their restock boxes ships regular-sized products to your house at a regular price. So what are you waiting for? Get your starter set right now for just $5. You can look as good as me and Andrew, or at least as good as Andrew, at dollarshaveclub.com/hoop. Try it out. Look as good as me and Andrew. DollarShaveClub.com/hoop.
Hello, no one is available to take your call.
It's tight in the East between 3, 4, 5. Pacers are a half game ahead of the 76ers for 3. 76ers are a game and a half ahead of the Celtics for 4 and 5. The drama there would be whether the Sixers and the Celtics have to play each other in the first round.
Yeah, the Pacers can really screw things up.
Yes,
if we're being honest.
Let me tell you what the Pacers' schedule is coming up. So again, the Pacers right now are, and they've been struggling. They're 5-5 in their last 10, and just got beat by the Bucks last night. Bucks have a 3-game lead on the Raptors for the number one seed. I don't think they'll lose that. So again, Pacers are a half a game ahead of the Sixers. But let me tell you this Pacers' schedule coming up, and I think this drama. Have the pin pulled on it. So the Pacers' next game is Sunday in Philly against the 76ers. Then they play at home against the Knicks. Then it gets bad. They host the Thunder. Then they go west, and it is no picnic. At Denver, at Portland, at Clippers, at Warriors, home to Denver, at Golden State, at Boston. Good God. That is as tough of a 10-game stretch as you will find. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You know, I'd sit here and I'd tell you that I don't see any way that the Pacers stay in that 3 seed. But simple fact is, I didn't see any way they were going to be there right now. I mean, let's be honest. When Oladipo went down, we all thought that the Pacers would stumble down the standings. We all thought, okay, we know what the top four teams are. We just don't know the order. And the Pacers have just hung in there. Now, again, I don't think they can hold steady there. I don't think they're going to force a Philly-Boston bloodbath of a first round. But they've surprised me to this point. So,
right. I don't want to count them out, but if you were making a fair projection, you would think that
I'd put them in the five seed.
Right, I think really all that matters for the East is that it's not Philly Boston in the first round. And if
and
you're
by
Toronto,
the East, you mean the TV ratings?
Well, even that. I mean, I guess. But I just, if Philly played, like, if the playoffs started today, those are stupid words to say, I realize, but if the playoffs started today, the Toronto Raptors would have the greatest draw of this generation. Because they would play the Pacers, they would be on the same side of the bracket as the Pacers, who are formidable, but they would only have to beat one of Celtics, 76ers, and Bucks to reach the finals. And that's a dream draw. So if you're a Raptor fan, you are rooting like hell for those Pacers to win, but I don't love the chances, quite frankly. But anyway,
they're
going 10 back
and
to 9 the West,
since Oladipo went down, which is overachieving. But like you said, the schedule's about to get tough, and frankly, the two teams right below them are better.
So, I think out of all those teams in the West, the Rockets are playing the best, and the Blazers are right there, and the Jazz have the easiest schedule. So, I would say that I think the Rockets have a great chance of finishing third, and I'm worried about the Thunder. I'm worried about the Thunder backsliding to 5 or 6. So I want to play a little game here. One of the things that NBA teams are doing every single day this time of year is what's called scenario planning. They will literally have meetings, and they will go over various scenarios.
0-3 looks like against the Nuggets.
They got them one more time, I think the 28th or something like that. Yeah, the 28th.
Denver's had one of the reasons why Denver's in where they are is because they've got a great record against all these top teams. They got a winning record against the Warriors too, if I'm not mistaken. Could be mistaken. So one of the things that in scenario planning that happens is teams go over all of these events that could happen in free agency and try to plan out how things will fall. And one of the classic scenario strategy trades I think I can remember in recent memory was the Clippers trading Tobias Harris. That directly came out of scenario planning. Let me explain how. So the Clippers have big eyes. They've got two max slots and they've got big eyes. You know, they're going to go after Durant and Kawhi Leonard, maybe Jimmy Butler. They're going after the biggest names in the market, and they're trying to get two of them. And Tobias Harris was a free agent, and they were going to have to go to Tobias and tell him, you know, hey, can you just hang on? Can you wait?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so sure Tobias would have or could have waited, because if a team like Brooklyn, or a team like, New York,
maybe even a team like Dallas, you know, whatever teams with max.
Oh, maybe like the maybe even like the Lakers, now. Right? So it comes down to Tobias is a. It comes down to, is this player a July 1st max? So, for example, for a team
and
like
for,
Brooklyn,
for, there would be teams where he would be, yes.
Right, for a team like Brooklyn or a team like Dallas, Tobias Harris would be a July 1st max. For a team like the Clippers, he was not. And they had to basically come to terms with, we cannot offer him July 1st. We may lose him July 1st. I mean, last year, mm-hmm. you remember, all the big names were done by July 1st, or at least the morning of July 2nd. So they had to come to themselves, they had to come to terms with, he is not a July 1st free agent. So we've got to trade him. And so this is the kind of scenario stuff that's going on right now in the front offices. So I want to go over some of this stuff with you guys. And, I want to start with the Lakers. So the Lakers have, like $38 million in cap space, enough for one max player, or you can break it down to two or three other signings. McMahon, if you were in the Lakers front office right now, what would be your order? What would you do? Would you be thinking of going after these big names, or would you be looking at second level free agents for your July 1st move? Because I'm not sure any of these guys want to come to LA.
There's no point in looking at second level free agents if you're the Lakers. For what? So you can sneak back in the playoffs and get spanked in the first round? You have to go. To me, you go either superstar, you know, top level dude, or bust. And the worst thing the Lakers can do is overpay for second level talent and kind of commit to mediocrity.
This is the game. This is the scenario game. Michael, do you think that the Kawhi Leonard would play with LeBron James?
I do not. And, okay. You know, that's just what I've been told. It's what I've been told going back to last summer. And so, yeah, I don't see that as something that's happening. I think he goes to the Clippers.
Do you think Klay Thompson is going to leave Golden State to go to the Lakers?
McMahon. Nope.
Do we think Kyrie Irving is leaving Boston to play with LeBron in LA?
That's the one that I am curious about. And that's the one that I need to see what the Celtics do in the playoffs. And I need LeBron to actually make a call to Kyrie, not just take the call, but to make some calls to Kyrie. And look at this. If the Celtics flame out in the first round and they're feeling good on this West Coast trip, but we all know what a complete bleep show that was just as recently as the weekend. If they flame out and get spanked, say, in the second round and Kyrie's bolting, would he rather go to New York, team up with KD there and kind of, you know, high lottery pick, maybe even number one overall pick, and try to resuscitate a dead franchise? Or would he rather come to L.A. and have the sweet reunion story with his new his renewed buddy LeBron that he knows can be a championship combination, and he's right there by studios, so he can get that Uncle Drew sequel if he decides that he wants cameras in his face again. I mean, there's a lot of things to like about L.A.
You know, I don't see Kyrie playing with LeBron again, although Kyrie is so, his mood changes by the hour. There's just no way to really truly predict it. I was talking to some people who were with Team LeBron at All-Star, and they said that Kyrie and KD were like a middle school couple that weekend.
Oh,
eating together.
How about them just chuckling it up after the Celtics spanked the Warriors? Old KD was having a grand old time with them.
Right. They were doing drills together at practice. I'll rebound for you. You rebound for me. I'll post you up. You post me up. They were eating together.
Because that's the question.
Yeah. They went to Miami together after the weekend. Kyrie started calling him my best friend.
The media just made way too much of that. Oh my goodness. Like, how dare the media?
Well, anyway.
What they were saying.
Well, look, I'm just saying, if I'm the Lakers, you definitely are calling all those dudes, but do you honestly think that they can count on Kyrie? I don't think so. All right, Durant.
What can they count on, though? That's to your point. What can they count
on? This is the strategy planning. This is the scenario planning. Okay, now what about Durant? You think Durant's going to come play with LeBron?
No.
You think he's leaving the Warriors to play with LeBron? I do not.
No. And look, if we're being honest, at this point, LeBron, I think, almost is a deterrent to the elite free agents because they don't want to deal with his shadow and, you know, all the stuff that KD actually talked about in the story. Who was that with earlier this year?
Rick Bucher.
With Rick Bucher. I mean, there's the feeling around the league is you don't want to be LeBron's sidekick. Not if you're a legit superstar.
Okay, so scenario planning. That's what we're doing here. All right, so you're not getting those four guys. I mean, you guys are saying, watch out for Kyrie. I say, okay, I mean, make the call, but good luck. All right, so now, you said, McMahon, you go for the big fish. Now we're in scenario, big fish aren't there. Now, what do you do? Do you go after Jimmy Butler? Do you go after Chris Middleton? I don't think Chris Middleton's leaving.
No, and I don't think Jimmy Butler wants to play with him. Now, I tell you though, it's going to be interesting to see what Jimmy's options are.
All right, we're going to talk. That, the Sixers are next.
I can see that as a marriage of convenience. I don't necessarily think that's a great idea for anybody.
All right, now let's. Well, real quick, do we think Chris Middleton would come to the Lakers?
No.
Do we think Kemba Walker would come to the Lakers?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't. I think he's not five years in his standpoint.
I was going to say Charlotte can put 5 years in and hush that.
Do we think Tobias Harris is coming to the Lakers?
No, because I think he's staying in Philly.
Do we think Jimmy Butler could come to the Lakers?
Like I said, I could see that as a marriage of convenience.
Okay, so let's say now. Okay, this is how this works. Now,
and by that I mean an awkward, it's closing time and they're both, you know, neither one of them has anybody to go home with kind of thing.
You got that right. You got that right. Okay, now, let's say Jimmy Butler is on the board. All right, let's say something happens in Philly, which we're going to talk about next. Jimmy is on the board. If you're the Lakers, are you offering Jimmy Butler a 4-year max contract?
If you want to get him.
I am not.
I hear
okay,
you.
Okay, I am not. I'm not offering that to him.
But if I'm the Lakers, I make bad decisions, so yes.
Michael?
No, I'm just saying that's the only way that's happening. Like, it's going to have to be a max deal. Like, I don't see him taking less.
Okay, now, what about boys here in this Lakers front office? Should we give Jimmy Butler a max contract when we don't know what's happening with Anthony Davis? He's maybe not going to extend. Maybe we can get him next year. If we sign Jimmy, we can't get him.
Is it
worth giving Jimmy a 4-year contract and taking ourselves out of the Anthony Davis 2020 race?
I wouldn't, but I think they do. But the problem there is then you're punting on another LeBron season, like you're punting on half of LeBron's contract, basically.
Yep.
All right, man, so now let's say, well, what's our alternative? If our alternative is to not pay Jimmy, even if we can get Jimmy, is there somebody we could get on a 1-year contract that would make us better and still keep us in the Anthony Davis sweepstakes? I know the name.
Okay. I'm thinking of it, but I don't see it happening.
Boogie Cousins.
Yep. I don't see that happening, though.
Oh, that's definitely been a rumor out there. You know, DeAndre Jordan, too, although I don't know what that does for you.
Well, if you're the Lakers and you're not getting your, you know, I don't know where Jimmy would be on their board, but let's just say he's not in the top five. Would you know, what are you going to do with the Lakers? Now, if I were the Lakers, I would say, let me see if I can get my hands on Bojan Bogdanovic or J.J. Redick. I would be looking for supporting characters who can play around LeBron. But they're going to go big fish hunting. And I'm not sure that, you know, that DeMarcus can do better than, you know, basically the Lakers would overpay him on a 1-year deal, kind of like the Mavericks did with DeAndre Jordan to sort of placehold.
And, you know, if you do that, you've at least got a flippable contract like the Mavericks did with DeAndre.
That's a big decision. This is some of the scenario planning. All right. So we could go on for an hour.
Brian, can I take a quick tangent on this topic?
Yes, go ahead.
Given some of the names you've mentioned, I'm just curious. Would you guys prefer to offer a max contract to Jimmy Butler or Chris Middleton?
Chris Middleton, because I feel like it's much more certain what you're going to get. There's not the wild variables and there's not the major risk, both in terms of chemistry and health.
Thing about it is that I think I think that Middleton is, you know, Middleton can be outbid for. He's younger. And I don't think Milwaukee wants to give him a 5-year deal, but they can. And I can't see them, considering what they just signed Eric Bledsoe for, they are in for a dime, in for a dollar. I can't see them not doing everything they can to keep Middleton, and the Lakers can get outbid. Now, if Middleton wants to walk and wants to play in LA and is willing to leave, you know, $40 million or so on the table, well then, you know, that'd be fantastic. But,
and leave and even, not yet to his prime Giannis for entering, you know, probably twilight's a little premature, but, you know, post prime LeBron.
Well, and if you're the Lakers, you're also, again, the Anthony Davis thing is sitting out there. Are you going all in for a guy who's a top 25 player when you could wait and get a top 5-7 player in Anthony Davis? You know, these are all things that are difficult. All right, I want to move on to the Sixers. Sixers have a whole bunch of free agents, but there's three big ones. Obviously, Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler, but also J.J. Redick. Josh Harris, their owner, has indicated he is willing to spend, and Elton Brand has indicated that he's been told the same thing. Michael, do you really believe that they're re-signing all three of those guys at the numbers that it would take to keep them?
Well, see, when you say the second part, that casts doubt on the whole thing at the numbers. I think they got to do what's feasible for them. You know, if they can get them at a reasonable number, yeah. But I don't think they can get all three.
Jimmy's not taking less than max. So, and I think they showed their cards with what they gave up for Tobias Harris. They're not giving up that package and not keeping Tobias Harris. They can say all they want that they're ready to max out both Tobias and Jimmy. I believe
and,
that
and
when
Boban.
I see
they'll max Boban too, right? That's a July 1st.
That's my guy. I love him.
You helped train him. Can I tell a quick Boban story?
You can always tell a Boban story.
Yeah.
Apparently, these guys are gone from the Clippers now. But apparently Boban got his hands on a Lamborghini SUV. I guess there's a Lamborghini SUV that exists.
And he can fit in it?
I guess. It was a Lamborghini SUV or a Safari SUV. I think it was a Lamborghini SUV. A few car heads out there, I apologize if I got it wrong.
It's a Lamborghini SUV.
None of the Clippers players had ever seen.
Doesn't Han drive one?
I've never seen. It's close. He drives another high-end luxury SUV. Anyway, none of the players had ever seen one. They couldn't believe it. And they wanted to drive it, and Boban wouldn't let him. He said, you know, who knows how Boban, you know, he was just in, isn't he in the Bond movie coming? No, he's in John Wick. Maybe he pulled some John Wick, strings to get that car. So, Marcin Gortat, like, wanted to drive it really, really bad. So he waited for Boban to, like, go get a massage or something, and he went in and stole the keys from his, locker. And this, Gortat told me this story. And he and Sam Cassell, this was a couple months ago, went out to the parking lot and tried to take it for a joyride, but they couldn't figure out how to get it like in gear. And anyway, it took them a while, but finally they started doing it, and they were doing donuts. Cause I don't know if who was at the wheel, Cassell or Gortat. They were doing donuts in the parking lot in the Lamborghini SUV while Boban was getting a massage. Nice. Can you imagine Mad Boban? Can you imagine?
No. He doesn't get mad. I've never seen him mad.
Right.
Seriously.
Right. So that's a thing. He loves to shake people's hands. He's always shaking your hand. He's always shook my hand like 5 times this year. He wants to shake your hand. And you want the experience because the man's hands are unbelievable in terms of size.
Hello. No one is available to take your call.
Andrew, what is more challenging, driving in Nebraska in the snow or actually getting your flight in on time in the winter?
Driving in LA in the rain.
Most challenging? You're wrong, Andrew. It's finding a qualified candidate for your job. And that is why you've got to use ZipRecruiter, because ZipRecruiter makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply for your job. And we could use some new drivers and some new airline operations folks. So they should try to check out ZipRecruiter. As the applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. It's so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. So right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive address, ZipRecruiter.com/collective, C-O-L-L-E-C-T-I-V-E. That's ZipRecruiter.com/collective. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
I just want to point out that ZipRecruiter was not an option when you gave me those list of choices at the top. So really, this is the most challenging thing. Sounds like you giving me a choice of challenging options. That's all. Just wanted to make,
right,
point
but
that
I just
out.
Want to point out that, you know, when you are a fantastic performer like you and I are, you want to bring the hammer, which is ZipRecruiter. They're the hammer.
.com/collective.
Hello. No one is available to take your call.
So we're the Sixers here. I agree with you, McMahon. I think Tobias Harris is in phenomenal negotiating position. I think he says 5-year max, or I'm out of here. And I think the Sixers pay it up.
Yep.
And I think he's 26, and I think they'll do it. And that gives them protection on Jimmy.
26 has been hooping with him, by the way.
For sure. He's been great since he got there. Michael,
and
would you, if you could keep J.J. Redick or Jimmy Butler for that team, which are you keeping? I mean, obviously J.J.'s not a max player, but you got to draw the line somewhere.
That's what I'm saying. And if you're being, I guess, I don't know. Is it prudent? Is that the word? I think I keep JJ. I really do, because Jimmy, you know, at his age and what he wants salary wise, you know, I don't know if that's
and
what
role-wise,
I want to do.
I think.
Yeah, that too. And you know, Jimmy's a confrontational dude, and you sort of wonder long term how that affects your chemistry. At least I would if I'm making those decisions. So I don't know. I think I would go with JJ. Because he knows his role, does it well, you know, glue type guy. That would be my move.
McMahon?
Yeah, I think that's, like I said, I think that's the way they're trending. I think that Tobias Harris was a pretty clear showing of that trade was a pretty clear showing of their cards.
Yeah, I think they got Tobias so that they could have some leverage on Jimmy, and if you think Jimmy is going to go, you may just go do JJ. But I think they're going to have competition for JJ. There's a lot of cap space out there. A lot of teams can afford him. I do think he likes playing for him, so we'll see how that goes. One more before we get to Kahonas Factor Player of February. Boston Celtics. So the big thing here is, to me, when you make your offer for Anthony Davis, are you putting Jason Tatum in the deal or not? And
are you keeping Kyrie? And if obviously, you know, there's no negotiations there, you're trying to max him out, but can you keep him from joining his buddy KD or the, you know, I'm not going to completely rule out the idea of him going to LA, but the KD to New York threat's the biggest threat. If you're not keeping Kyrie, do you still go all in on an Anthony Davis deal?
Well, Kyrie said ask him July 1st. He didn't say ask him June 15th. The draft is, to me, where the Pelicans are going to move, if they're going to move, because they're going to want the picks. So how do you do this? You know, because
hey, if we go all in on Anthony Davis, that allows us to keep Kyrie. That dramatically improves the probability of keeping Kyrie.
So here's the thing. If you're Boston, your biggest fear is this. Kyrie may walk and Anthony Davis may not extend or, you know, re-sign. and you would possibly face rolling the dice of losing Tatum, having neither Tatum, Davis, or Kyrie in a year. Ooh. Or you trade for Anthony Davis. Kyrie decides to stay. Anthony Davis and Kyrie then become your foundational pieces for the next 4 years. What would you do?
It's a big gamble. But, Brian, as you know the tampering stuff goes on, man. And I'm sure they don't make a move unless they have some type of assurance, you know, that he may come back. Or he could just they could do what Toronto did. I mean, Toronto rolled the dice with Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in July, but, you know, I think that Toronto feels good about his chances, even though I don't. So I don't know. I mean, is it worth it
or
to
Paul,
you?
Or
to,
Paul George, OKC rolled the dice with Paul George, and that obviously
that
is a
too.
Success story.
Right, right. But you know, I look at it like, okay, do you roll the dice on a one-year rental with the possibility that you can convince him to come back? You know, and with the way their team is set up right now, I mean, you know, we're in their championship window right now, I think. You know, and so I don't know. I think I'd roll the dice and do it. And, you know, hey, play our ass off all next season and hopefully we convince them to come back.
I'd be worried if I was Boston whether Anthony Davis playing alongside Kyrie would even work out. They're allegedly buddies, but Kyrie's eyes are for Kevin Durant at this point. All right, we'll talk more about this in the coming months. McMahon, center stage, big man.
Fellas, we've got a good one
Cajones
here.
Cajones factor of the month for February.
All right. The honorable mention goes to the man who made the biggest Cajones factor shot of the season so far, Paul George.
Honorable mention?
Hey,
I'm waiting for more. Yeah, I'm waiting for more.
Let me spit it out. We saw that teardrop rafters rubbing runner over the reigning defensive player of the year to cap a double OT classic, put the finishing touches on a 45-9-7 night with Russell Westbrook watching from the bench after he fouled out. That gets Paul George an honorable mention because there's high standards and overall, he didn't have a great clutch month. 6 of 21 from the floor, minus 11 in 35 minutes. But that shot, that MVP caliber moment, at least got him on the ballot as an honorable mention.
All right.
I like the use of alliteration in your little lead-in. Can you say that again?
He's a star.
There you go.
A bona fide star here. Go on, McMahon.
Third place, and this is his debut on the Cajones Factor. Player of the month ballot, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's going to be on here. Well, I don't know how long I'll be doing this.
He'll
be on here a whole bunch. Who's this?
I don't want to ruin your flow. Go ahead. Jake Layman, but keep going.
I like me some Jake Layman, but this kid looks like Steve Nash in the analytics era. Steve Nash without a conscience. Trae Young. I'm not saying he's making rookie of the year a legit race, but I'm just saying the Hawks don't feel bad about that deal right now. This kid is lighting the world on fire. He told everyone, anybody who'd listen, he told them, hey, I'm going to be as good as Luka. I like the confidence. Not so sure about that, but he's backing up, had a monster month, averaged 23-9 this month, and Trae Young had the best clutch plus minus in the month of February, plus 42 in 26 minutes. Man was third in scoring, 27 points in 27 minutes or in 26 minutes. And man,
this man brought his numbers.
The Chris Dunn thing, that's in March, so that he's already got a nice little lead into the next month. Mm-hmm. But boy, I like this kid's swagger. So Trae Young, third place on the ballot, well earned. And like I said, he's going to be on here a whole bunch of times coming up in his career.
All right. Number two.
Second place, and boy, Mike Wright had, I don't know, it's not a great seat there in Toronto, but he at least was in the building for one of the biggest Cajones factor moments of the season so far. That was Kawhi Leonard, and man, I tell you, it made me wince watching this, I ain't gonna lie. Kawhi Leonard just absolutely ruining DeMar DeRozan's feel-good return. in Toronto. I mean, he stripped the man at midcourt, just pulled his pants down, spanked him on the butt, took the ball, cruised in for the game-winning dunk. And, oh, by the way, that wasn't Kawhi's only last 15-second game winner of the month. He's the only guy who had two of those. The other one was a little elbow jumper with 4 seconds left to beat Brooklyn. But, man, that DeMar DeRozan strip and dunk. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Like I guys, said, that's as cold blood as it comes.
I got a great story off the air about that whole situation.
Oh, it'll be in the director's cut. All right. Who is taking the crown? Is it Luka again? I don't think it's Luka again.
No. Oh, gosh, no. They're,
oh, so Harden's on a two-month win streak, right? Harden's won the last 2 months.
Fellas, this is a man who he has a celebration that fits the honor and was mocked twice this month by dudes on the opposing bench. And in both those games, ice in his veins, D'Angelo Russell came back to close it out. It was mocked by Tristan Thompson in Cleveland, and he went and just lit it up. Took 3 OTs, but boy, he lit it up in that third OT. It was mocked by, I forget my rookie Bridges confused, the rookie Bridges in Charlotte, and he
Charlotte
came back
Bridges.
And yeah, by Charlotte Bridges. He came back and allowed the Nets to pull off a huge comeback to steal that win. D'Angelo Russell led the league in clutch scoring this month, 37 points in 23 minutes, 65% shooting in those situations. It gets even better. 19 of those points were, I think Zach Lowe came up with the term super clutch, scored within 3 in the last 3 minutes. 19 of those league-leading 37 clutch points were in those super clutch situations. And like I said, the man's got the celebration. It was mocked twice, and he came back and closed out both of those games. Congratulations, D'Angelo Russell. You will not be number one on my most improved player of the year ballot. Shout out Pascal Siakam. But this is a much bigger honor. Cojones Factor, player of the month in February, D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, McMahon was fantastic. I will shout out the fact that no Dwayne Wade mentioned despite one of the great all-time ridiculous game winners, although it was ridiculous. It was more luck than skill. Nonetheless, Dwayne Wade, I'll tip my cap to you.
That's an oversight. We'll make him a second honorable mention.
He's an honorable
But McMahon,
mention.
Yeah. Please, do not. This was very strong work. I can't wait for Player of the Month for March. I enjoyed that so much. We have got to go. More scenario planning later on. I wish we could have done more. But thank you to Michael Corleone Wright. That's really his middle name, by the way. That's not a moniker. Nothing that Michael will ever do will ever impress me more than the fact that his middle name is Corleone. I can't take my hat off to his parents more than that. Joining us from Dallas on his way to Houston, because this man just loves, he can't, when he leaves Texas, he's got to end up back in Texas. McMahon, thank you very much. Thank you.
This week. It was cold.
I'm surprised I let you in the country. Thank you to Andrew Hahn, and thank you for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend.